sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
We have many excellent liturgists in this church, but today Alex rose to the title of Liturgist of the Year. Did you notice that Alex is modeling the latest in liturgical wear? Beautiful. So, the standard has been raised. Maybe he'll loan it to other people, though. So today is the sixth week of Easter, the end of the Easter season. Next Sunday, we celebrate the Ascension, and the following week is Pentecost. So this morning's gospel reading takes up where last week's reading from John chapter 14 ended. This is part of Jesus' farewell discourse. Jesus had just shared the Last Supper with his disciples. He knew that his death was near and was trying to prepare them for what was to come. The disciples were shocked and afraid, grieving already. In an effort to comfort them, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to be with them in his absence. So listen for God's word to you from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask God, who will give you another advocate, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees the Spirit nor knows the Spirit. You know the Spirit, because it abides with you, and it will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in God, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by God, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. I will ask God, who will give you another advocate, to be with you forever. As Jesus contemplated leaving the disciples, he promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he called her an advocate. Isn't that an interesting choice of words for the Holy Spirit? Attorneys advocate their clients' cases, so the name has a definite legal connotation. There are angels walking among us today who serve as advocates. Maybe you've heard of the CASA program. Emmy Guthrie, Brian Guthrie's wife, was a longtime volunteer. For 10 years, she was a CASA, a court-appointed special advocate. A CASA serves on behalf of children and youth who've experienced abuse and neglect. When children enter the DHS foster care system, a CASA's job is to be there for the child, to monitor their situation, making sure they are receiving all of the services they need, watching out for their interests, and speaking to the court on their behalf. A CASA advocates for the child in the midst of painful and difficult circumstances. It's their job to inform the judge what they believe is in the best interest of the child. The advocate is what Jesus called the Holy Spirit. And couldn't we all use some of that? Someone who's on our side through thick and thin, watching carefully to be sure that we have what we need. Emmy made an important distinction about her job as a CASA. Sometimes her job made her very unpopular. Sometimes her advocacy, her judgment of what was in the best interest of the child, was not what the parents wanted, and sometimes it was not what the child wanted. And I wonder if the Spirit's job is similar. How often have you felt the Spirit, the advocate, nudging you to do the right thing, the hard thing, the thing you least want to do? Methodist minister Jan Richardson described a long discussion of a hard issue with her husband. And at the end, he said this to her: "The thing to remember here, Jan, is that I am on your side." She went on to say this: "Having somebody on our side, somebody whose sidefulness doesn't require that we always agree with them or bend ourselves to their agenda, is a remarkable gift. Somebody on our side whose sidefulness is not a question." Jesus offered that remarkable gift to the disciples and to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. His followers were so frightened at the thought of Jesus' death, so bereft at the thought of him leaving them, that Jesus offered his continued presence in the Holy Spirit, reassuring them that the Spirit would abide with them always. To abide with someone offers something deeper, more permanent than simply remaining or staying with them. To abide indicates a spiritual relationship. It is intimate and close. And when Jesus promised that the Spirit would abide with the disciples, he promised the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, indwelling is a theological concept. It's present in both the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible, and it refers to the Spirit inhabiting believers. John presented this concept in verse 20 when Jesus said, "You will know that I am in God, and you in me, and I in you." That's pretty circular. But Jesus promised that the Spirit would be in the disciples as he was in God, and the disciples would be in him as he was in them. This is the promise of relationship with God, that God is with us and in us as we are with God. This is not logical or analytical. It is spiritual. It is mystical. And one thing to know about the author of the Gospel of John is that he or she was a mystic, writing of deep spiritual things which must be experienced to be known. Essentially, the consolation and reassurance that Jesus offered his disciples was his presence. He would always be with them. Do you ever have the sense that your departed loved ones are still with you? Some people see signs of their loved ones in nature, in birds. Lots of people associate their loved ones with birds. Maybe it's trees or flowers that remind them of loved ones. Sometimes I feel like I can hear my mom's voice so clearly. Or for a minute, I think my dad is out in the garage working on something. Or the phone rings, and I wonder if it's my cousin or my friend calling to catch up, even though they've been gone for a long while. These very human experiences after death and loss give us glimpses of what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. The continuing presence of our loved ones is what the Spirit looks and feels like in our lives. Jesus promised an advocate, the Spirit of truth, who would abide with them. And because the spiritual life is not all hooey-wooey, Jesus also required something in return. At the beginning of the reading and at the end, Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And earlier in John's gospel, while sharing the Last Supper, he said this to his disciples: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." So there was a game that we used to play at winter camp with junior and senior high school students. Rochambeau, or rock, scissors, paper. Do you know this game? It's played by partners who make hand gestures for a rock, for scissors, or for paper. So rock crushes the scissors, scissors cut paper, and paper covers the rock. When played with a big group of 50 or more young people, this is what we would do. Everyone paired up. So you find a partner and you begin to play. The winner of each match moved up a round to play another winner. And here's what happened to the losers. This is what made the game so fun. The losers were not out of the game, relegated to the sidelines. The losers stuck to the one who'd beat them, the winner. And they became the winner's cheerleader, their promoter. Every round, the winner's crowd got bigger and bigger, louder and louder. Their squad was hyping them up, encouraging them, taking their side at every match. It was beautiful. Kids who'd never won at anything before won big in this game. And the quietest kids became the loudest, most enthusiastic supporters of their winner, cheering hard for their person to take the title. And isn't that the Spirit's work in our lives, advocating for us, taking our side, speaking the truth, cheering us on to do our very best? Perhaps the greatest, hardest work of the Spirit's dwelling within us is teaching us to love one another, to love one another in the way that God loves us, the way that Jesus loves us, the way that the Spirit loves us, to be able to say to one another, truly and sincerely, through thick and thin, I am on your side. Amen.